Yes, and it's welcome to the first episode of season 2021 Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Hope you all had a good Christmas and New Year as well, the pandemic would allow it to be. And here we are back, 2021, our first edition, and and we have the privilege to welcome along to give us his take on recent events, recent happenings within rugby league. We have Whitehaven Rugby League Club's media officer, Jordan Weir. Welcome along, Jordan.
Hey guys, happy New Year.
Yeah, and you, yeah. And also, we have our man from Greater Manchester, from Radcliffe, the home of the famous Radcliffe Borough. We have Haven fan in exile, Paul Stubbs. Welcome along, Paul.
Yeah, hi everybody. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, as happy as it can be. It's
as
we'll no doubt go through in the course of our conversation. Thought 2021 would be your fresh start, 2020 behind us, as unfortunate as that was, and we could all get on with enjoying our rugby league. But we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about where things stand after the recent lockdown, etc. And it's perhaps not, not the most optimistic at times, and I'd say unfortunately we've had some really bad news this week, and I think we need to sort of see it here. Was the rather untimely death of young Cameron Taylor from Kells, top rugby player and a smashing young lad to boot. Everybody who knows him said what a decent lad he was. He died rather suddenly and tragically on Friday morning. And what a loss, what a tragedy. He's from the Taylor family. The Taylor family, very, very long-standing connections with rugby league. His grandfather was Tommy Taylor, who put a lot of work and time into grassroots rugby over the years. His dad was Paul Tadge, who was conditioner at Whitehaven and Barra. And his brother Brandon, well, he's a real Haven diehard. So, as I say, lots of connections to the game, lots of connections to the club, and I can only just say how tragic it is, and we'll send our, thinking of the Taylor family at this time, sending our thoughts and condolences to them at this really sad time. As I say, a sad loss, and for once a young, as I say, a real tragedy. So, as I say, on behalf of trusting Haven, on behalf of rugby league fans everywhere, just send our thoughts and best wishes to the Taylor family.
Yeah.
Okay then, right. So as I say, we're back. We've had a month's break over the festive period. Our last podcast was really looking forward to 2021, and at that point it was looking all the things would get underway, probably just a little bit late, but not too bad, and we could look forward to some rugby league probably late February, but that's not happening, Jordan. Latest news from the rugby league pushes things back quite a few weeks, it would appear.
Yeah, quite a few weeks. It seems like Easter is your probable start date. The clubs were advised earlier this week towards the week before, to cease all training for the period of a couple of weeks. Obviously, with the country's gone back into lockdown, the rise right across the northwest, Lancashire, Yorkshire, and up here as well, across Cumbria, we've seen the rise across the figures. So the teams are told to stop training, and looks like the season's going to be delayed, like you say, possible to Easter. Good news, the lads have been told, well, the clubs have been told that they can go back into some sort of training, but no, it's still going to be social distance and non-contact, so not too much they can do. But, you know, it is a start. But, yeah, season delayed, probably Easter is the earliest we're looking at.
The squad had, in fact, started back as a squad training, hadn't they, just early December. So it probably comes at the worst time, but, you know, the situation is what it is, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. We've seen, the lads have been back in for a good 4 to 5 weeks. Obviously, all COVID secure, you know, people were told to stay away. You know, I mean, I normally would attend training maybe every so often just to try and get some catch up and some interviews with the players and with the coaching staff, just obviously to put some content out for our fans on social media. Obviously, that has been, you know, that's been put on the back burner at the minute, obviously due to everything. The lads were in a COVID-secured environment as much as they could be. But, yeah, just the numbers right across, you know, obviously not just across Copeland and Allerdale and the county, as we'd seen, but right across the country meant, you know, the decision was taken to stop training. And, you know, it is a shame. But, you know, I think in the end up, it's got to be for the greater good, and not just for the good of rugby league, but for the good of the public health.
Yeah, absolutely. So, unfortunately, things come to a, if not a total, or very much a scaling back of preparations. I think you touched on it there. We thought rather than the end of February, it was the last weekend in February, was the date the Rugby League had put out just before the holiday period. But we think now that's probably going to be more like Easter, first weekend in April, when things will get underway. But there may be some changes to the fixture list. Maybe you could tell us a bit about how the fixture list was going to be and maybe how you think the fixture list will be once we get up and running, Jordan.
I mean, with the slightly delayed start, they were still looking to do a full, 27-round season, as it was, home and away, and the Summer Bash. It seems to be now a 22-round calendar will be in place, obviously, for, you know, accompanying the extra weeks that we will have missed, and obviously can't be pushed back too much due to, you know, we are planning to have a World Cup towards the end of the season.
That's so, an immovable sort of thing in it, really, which you can't.
Yeah, I mean, and if you do look at moving it to another year of 2022, you're then clashing with the Football World Cup, which is obviously moved to winter due to Qatar. So you're pretty much, you're looking locked in at being 2021 if it does take place. But with that, obviously, you know, the season can't be pushed back any further. So it looks like it's a 22-round calendar is what's being proposed.
So so it won't be home and away against every other team, then?
No, it looks like you'll play everyone once. And then obviously some loop fixtures, which will be 9 in total, to take it up to 22. Word on the Summer Bash is no confirmation as of yet, but that looks to be, or, you know, it seems to be, if you're looking to lose a round of fixtures, that seems to be one you can lose pretty easily, you would suspect, which is a shame, due to the exposure it gets. You know, it's the only time the Championship do really get on TV. And, you know, more national press coverage apart from the trade papers. It would be a shame to see it go, but I think common sense would suggest that would be the case.
I think common sense has got to prevail there, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, Paul.
And it's an extra round anyway.
Yeah. I think, as you say, I think we all look forward to it as something just that little bit special, that little bit out of the ordinary. I know on the couple of times I've been to the Summer Bash, it's been a really good atmosphere, but circumstances are really going to work against it happening in 2021, but we'll see what the Rugby League come up with in due course on that one.
Can you remember a Summer Bash?
Yeah.
I usually end up in Abraham's and Chippy about 8 o'clock at night, I think.
No, I take in the gentle airs of Lytham St. Anne's and the coffee shop.
Oh, good grief. No comment.
Go and live it up in Lytham St. Anne's.
You just said live in Lytham St. Anne's.
You'll be lucky.
Yeah. I'll not tell you what they call it round here, but we'll just leave that one.
So, just coming back to the harsh realities of things, the loop fixes, Jordan, that they could have a big influence on how the season's going to pan out for any specific team. Would you agree there?
Yeah, because, I mean, it all depends on, I suppose, who you don't play. You know, we've got 14 teams in the Championship. You're going to, so, you know, you've got 13 rounds. You don't play, obviously, you don't play yourself. But that means you need to, if it's a 22-round calendar, you need to pull another 9 fixtures out. So, yeah. Whether you're fighting for the top, whether you're fighting to try and strap into the playoffs, or whether you're fighting for survival and make sure you're playing for your Championship status for 2022, them teams you don't play, or obviously who you do play, could have a massive impact on that. And I think some work is going to have to go into that, into the calendar, to try and make it as fair as possible. Now, how you do that, you know, only those at the Rugby League will be discussing that, and those within, obviously, the clubs and one thing and another. But I certainly wouldn't want to be putting that fixture list together when it's an uneven season, and making sure, you know, which teams, like ourselves at Whitehaven, and, you know, trying to, you know, I think we'll say, we'll, you know, we're trying to keep our Championship status. Yes. Do we end up, you know, do we not play Featherstone and Lee or Toulouse, or do we play, and, you know, the extra games against more like an Oldham or a Swinton? And like, again, yeah, so it's going to be a real tough challenge for those deciding at the RFL who plays who, and especially when, you know, what it could come down to in the final couple of weeks of the season.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
With what's going on at the moment, you think they'd try and keep the extra games local, wouldn't you? I mean, our local one at the moment is Newcastle. But if you know what I'm, saying, less travelling.
Yes.
But obviously, Toulouse have got to come over here every time they play anyway.
Yeah. There's all sorts of complications to, as Jordan has referred to, to take into account. And as I say, the league fixtures are going to be quite influential in potentially in our season pans out for any given side. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see that. Just on fixtures, the press release, as I say, before the holidays from the Rugby League, mentioned starting with the 1895 Cup, which has had some mixed comments in the past. Is that going to go by the by now, do you think?
I think it's got to, hasn't it?
Logic says.
We were struggling to get a 27-round calendar in for the full league season.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 1895 Cup was looking to be a part of that. But yeah, I mean, what's doing the rounds is that even the League One teams won't even be involved in the Challenge Cup. It's just purely going to be a Championship and Super League competition.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is what I'm hearing. I've seen comments from one person involved in the club at League One, who shall remain nameless, obviously. comments that he seems to that person seems to think that the League One clubs will not be involved in the Challenge Cup, and it will start being a Championship and Super League competition only. Now, the 1895 Cup then could think about becoming a League One only competition to try and get some extra, you know, that you know, but in the format we see it now, I can't see it going ahead. And, you know, and unfortunately for the 1895 Cup, it hasn't had the best of starts to life. You know, it was sort of shoehorned into the season a couple of years ago. We've seen sides playing midweek, sides not being able to play at their own grounds. I think Halifax played one of their games at Keighley. And then we've seen what been Barrow take on Bradford. Bradford fielded their youngest ever side just because they had league responsibilities and had a very good cup run that year. That was the year they beat Leeds. So, yeah, that 1895 Cup sort of become a side show. And the scandalous scheduling of the final meant they only played in front of a handful of fans at Wembley. Obviously, last year it was meant to be with an earlier start, so more fans would have seen that. Obviously, didn't take place, and it was the same again for this season. But yeah, in my opinion, common sense has got to come to the fore, and you think, let's focus on getting your league campaign through before you think about even any cup competitions. Obviously, the Challenge Cup, you need to try and go, because it is the game's prestigious competition. So yeah, the 1895 Cup, I think, has just got to go on the back burner yet again for 2021, unfortunately.
Makes a lot of sense what you said there, John. So I suppose the thing, we'll just have to wait and see the publication of the fixtures and see how it all pans out from there. Yeah. Just talking about the championship, which I wanted to do today. Obviously, one or two changes in the championship, even though the competition didn't take place. We've seen Lee move up to Super League. Your thoughts on that, guys?
From what I'm hearing, I didn't hear the last podcast, but from what I'm hearing, Paul predicted it spot on, that Lee were going to go up. So kudos to him. I think it was either between them or to lose for who were going to take that Toronto's place. Obviously, the Toronto situation is another probably two or three podcasts amongst itself. But yeah, they're no longer with us. They're no longer part of the game as it stands.
Yeah, they're gone.
Lee took their place. As I say, I think either them or Toulouse, it was going to be pretty a pretty chuff choice between them. Me personally, I would have picked Toulouse, just going back to the roots of the European Super League. And if you want to bring some more European sides in, you know, I mean, many people say, why are Catalan in the British game? I think we need to remember, majority of the clubs, apart from Catalan and Toulouse, and obviously was Toronto, all the clubs are, they're based in Britain, but it is a European game.
That's what it was initially launched as, wasn't it? Yeah.
The likes of Milan and Barcelona and Dublin were all promised, of course, it hasn't come to fruition. But if you're wanting to try and expand the game and, the south of France, as it is pretty big on its rugby league.
Absolutely.
Most of the elite one sides are based down in the south of the country. But trying to expand and trying to bring that in. And Toulouse, they were flying high when the season was curtailed, and they've challenged since the second inauguration into the British game, even though we could have just called it European, but the second inauguration into the British game. They've come in again in League One and spent their time in there, done that, and then have challenged pretty much in the Championship ever since their promotion. My personally would have been to lose, but I don't think I can't complain with Lee getting the shouts. And Derek Beaumont's happy to put his funding back in again, put his money into his pocket, and try and keep Lee afloat, especially
not tried.
With the reduction in the central funding, because Toronto wasn't getting any central funding, which sort of caused them their issues in the first place. So Lee have gone up on the basis of they're not getting the same central funding as the other clubs. So it really will be a tough challenge for them, but good luck to them, and, see what they can do for next season.
Beaumont has really bankrolled Lee for a few years now, and so I suppose his financial input is as much to do with that, with the promotion as anything. Sorry, Paul. Back to you.
No. I was correct in what I predicted, I must admit. but I did have a bit of inside information on that, as what was happening at Lee from one of the lads I worked with. And he was quite confident it was going to be them. But I do agree with you, Jordan. For the sake of the game, I hoped it would be to lose, but it wasn't.
So best of luck to Lee. Let's see how they go. So that brings me on to the flip side of the championship sort of makeup. Is the arrival of Newcastle Thunder in the championship. What's your thoughts on that, guys?
Absolute no-brainer for me. When it was announced, obviously as it was, I felt they were the standout candidate. Obviously, the club's gone big in their aims. They have publicly stated and had a full campaign that they want to not just be in Super League but win Super League by 2030. Big aims, the Thunder outfit, as previously were Gateshead, now over at Newcastle. For a number of years, they were sort of the whipping boys of League One, as it was, and they weren't playing in front of many fans in that big stadium over there in Gateshead, in the International Stadium. With the move to Kingston Park and the backing from the Falcons, from the owner of the Falcons Rugby Union, has really, it's really helped their ambition. There's a lot of guys behind the scenes there doing a lot of work, not just for on the field, Well, not with the adult setup, but they're looking with the academy and the reserve setup and the junior setup, and trying to bring just even grassroots rugby over to rugby league over to the northeast.
So
for me, it was they were the standouts, and if we're being honest, I think the only choice you could make. That's no disrespect to the likes of Barrow, Rochdale, Workington, the other names stick me at the other, but you know, them sort of sides who were trying to, you know, who were also looking to get that place, they all had their own merits. I think, as a cut from a Cumbrian rugby league perspective, would you have liked Barrow and Workington in there? Yeah, probably for your derbies. And if obviously you can get fans back in, then you know, your crowds, but you know, obviously that's just us being, sort of trying to root for Cumbria and get Cumbria there. But I think, like you said, the common sense idea had to be Newcastle. And like you said, just, you know, it was the only sensible team, in my opinion, that could expect to be promoted through that.
Yeah.
I mean, what you got to remember, guys, what you got to remember are my local derbies are when we come down here and then we play Oldham and Swinton.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. We needed a Cumbrian derby. We didn't get one. But again, like you say, it's a no-brainer. Newcastle were earmarked for it. I think we discussed it in the last podcast that they had the infrastructure and everything. And they had the behind-the-scenes set up. And it's just a no-brainer. And good luck to them.
Yeah, I say I look forward to the games against Newcastle Thunder, especially the one over the northeast, because it's another excuse to go over the Toon and have a night out on the Toon. So, and it's our local derby, isn't it, I suppose. If you'd be interested to see what coverage it gets on the BBC Northeast News, which covers sport over here, yeah.
I know previously, you know, not that the ITV have looked at possibly, and I think Newcastle have mentioned like possibly like a joint press conference. Obviously, was being relatively close compared for Cumbria. I think it was launched. It was a bit too short notice to do it for one of the games over there previously. But now we get a bit of notice, and whether that can be done to try and drum up some interest for the likes of Look Around and Look North, you know, especially trying to get some of that there and trying to get some more coverage. Hopefully it can be done. COVID restrictions applying, of course, because obviously we don't know when that is. But yeah, it's only good, you know, trying to spread the games, spread the area of where professional rugby league is being played. Obviously, Newcastle's been there for quite a while now, but trying to get them up the divisions and see what they can do in a higher division.
Yeah, as I say, they probably deserve it. And as I say, I look forward to them games. You just made me think of something there. Talking of the TV coverage, there is, in fact, another championship team covered by BBC Look North, and that's York City Knights. The cover York, so there's maybe possibility to do something there, Jordan, possibly. And to me, again, York will be one of the highlights of the season for me, because they've moved to this new £40 million stadium, which, just looking at the previews of it on TV, looks a real belting stadium.
It really does. Bootham Crescent is homely, if you want to say that. It's a vintage stadium, but yeah, I've seen a lot of work with what's gone on there, obviously for the City Knights and York City FC to go over. The stadium looks a real good one. Some members of the Rugby League Press have been and had a tour around only in the last few weeks, but yeah, they've seen it. Looks to be coming on really well. Obviously, York were hoping to get over there for 2020. I think COVID sort of obviously delayed that, obviously, in terms of rugby league, but that means some sort of delays to the stadium there as well. But yeah, no, just to have another top class facility within rugby league and being able to host rugby league, and you know, it's an option there, and it's going to be hosting Touchwood some World Cup games, I believe, there as well. So yeah, just to have that option there, and it's, you know, it's great for the City Knights. John Flatman's done a great job since their financial troubles. Only four years ago, was it now? So yeah, they've done really well since he's gone in. The club's gone from strength to strength, and yeah, so you know, the better the stadium we play in, the better it can be for the game day experience.
Yeah, so I'd say that to me, that'll be one of the highlights of the season. Also enjoy visiting New York anyway again, you know. It's a good place for going out on the drink afterwards, especially after you've won. Yeah.
I know some good pubs around Bootham Crescent, actually. But yeah. We're not going.
Anyway, as I say, I've talked a little bit about the league. We'll no doubt cover it more as in future podcasts. But in the time left in this podcast, let's just focus on our own team, Whitehaven. It's been a very busy off-season for the club, Jordan. Eight new signings. Big squad's definitely been improved. From your point of view, what better squad, better prospects for this year?
You would think so. We've brought some exciting young lads in, especially from down under. You know, you look at the likes, we've seen the video, you know, we're obviously going from videos and clips we've seen, but the likes of Lachlan Walmsley, Nicar Williams, Ryan King, those that we have brought over that are currently in the country, look to be really exciting. They've come through some fantastic junior setups down in Australia. You know, they've come through the likes of with the South Sydney setup, a couple of them in St. George. And that's certainly a competition you do want to be playing in at that sort of age down under. Can they have the impact we've seen of previous Australians? You know, we've had, well, Kiwis and Australians, you know, we had the Kiwi three who come over here and have never went home. You know, they're here 25 years later, you know. And obviously, I think, you know, can they have the Sam Hobbs impact? We'd all like to think so. Whether we get that sort of impact on them from yet, it's waiting to be seen. But, you know, the prospect is there. And then you look at the likes of re-signings, but new signings, you know. We welcome Greg McNally back down to the recreation ground.
What a signing.
Come from left field. Really come from left field.
Props comes back to the a big hint of what was happening at Lee, because I believe Greg's looking to pursue careers outside of rugby, so staying part time was maybe the best option for him.
But being able to have that experience now, you know, we all know how Greg burst onto the scene.
Absolutely,
you know. But he's got that experience now. You know, he tried Super League initially after leaving Whitehaven, obviously going to Huddersfield. It didn't quite work for him at that point, but he's forged a fantastic career for him, and mostly full time. In fact, well, mainly full time since at Liam Bradford. He's got that experience now. He's played to a really high level in this division, and obviously played in Super League that year that Lee were up there a couple of seasons ago. So to have that sort of experience. More than likely at fullback now, rather than standoff. When we see him there at Whitehaven.
Yeah.
The likes of Liam Cooper, who was initially really disappointed to leave the club as he did after his loan spell. Obviously, Saints had recalled him, and it wasn't his choice. And they sent him out to Halifax, and that wasn't his choice. He really wanted to stay with Whitehaven and was happy with. When in Fozzie's final season as coach a couple of years ago, but the likes of that and being able to bring local lads in as well, you know, you've got the likes of Andrew Dawson and who's come there as well, and being able to see a full season from the likes of Tom Walker as well and Glenn Riley coming back there as well. So it's shaping up to be well. It's still going to be a tough challenge, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be a really I believe it's more exciting squad and much more squad depth that we can rely on.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, 28 in the squad. Charlo's going to have some real selection headaches, certainly as the season kicks off. We'll see how injuries have an effect throughout the season, but he's got a good squad with some quality in it. So the question is, I'm going to say I think we can comfortably be a mid-table team. What's your views, guys?
Comfortably wouldn't be my words. We know, and that's no reflection on the squad. That's just more on inflection. We know how tough the Championship can be. We got a snippet of it last season, and the season was curtailed. I think if we're being honest and we're being truly honest, the curtailment was probably good for us because it was looking to be a struggle, and I'm sure anyone involved would say that.
We lost Oldham and Swinton, which were obviously games we
should have won.
Games we needed to win, but we lost them by very slim margins. I don't know, so we weren't that far away, I don't think.
No, I don't think we were. And if them games, sorry, Paul, I'm just saying, if them games.
Carry on.
Yeah, and that if them games were probably played 10 to 12 games into the season, then might have been games we won. I just think we need the step up from League One to Championship is a big step up.
Yeah.
And we maybe, I don't know if we slightly underestimated. I don't want to put any downers on that, with the squad that was there. I reckon, if we played them in slightly better conditions on a harder ground, then we probably would have got a result in. But that's nothing against the performances we're putting against Swinton and Oldham on their respective days. I'd be happy if you give me it now, because I think it is two teams that will be coming down. If it's two teams that come down, give me 12 now. I'll happily snap your hand off for it and build from there. I hope it's a much better season than that, and we are comfortably mid-table, and there's no relegation worries. We just have to wait and see, because obviously with this loop fixtures and not playing for, it's going to have been 12 months. You don't know how bodies are going to react. You don't know how clubs are going to react. So it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a strange one. But if you give me 12 now, I'd snap your hand off.
I've got to agree with you on that.
Just a comment on again on the few games we played last year. Our best performances were probably against the better teams we played. Would you agree?
Away at London and away at Widnes, both on services that you could play on, because they both play on 4G pitches.
Yeah.
So when we were able to run with the ball and throw the ball around, and obviously the conditions in London were very, very wet. The storm was across that weekend, and we were the only game that survived, and that was probably due to the 4G pitch down there at Chillfinders. That and Widnes away were probably our better performances. Like you said, because we were able to play, and especially that game at Widnes going into the final quarter, you could think, we still got a chance. Fitness paid its toll with Widnes being, a full-time, a hybrid of full-time and part-time players. I think fitness told in the end. But if you were looking at that game with 20 minutes to go, we were certainly in it. And I know Tim Sheens commented after the game where we'd been hiding Carl Dixon. He was really impressed. Carl got two tries on that day and I think assisted another. So he was impressed with as was Danny Ward in the game when we were impressed with our team on that day. So the performances were there on pitches we could play on. We hope to see more, like you say, in 2021 with the depth we've got in the squad now.
Yeah, I think we're starting to get it right. I think it was starting to come together. Just going back to the Widnes game, I know we talked about it, but they were worried. They were worried. 20 minutes to go, they were worried. And then silly mistakes, and that was it. And it was down to fitness, I think.
Yeah. So where would you hope we would finish then, Paul? What's your?
I'd go wholehearted with John. Give me 12th now, and I'll accept it. I'd like to think mid-table, but we don't know what talent there is out there. Yeah. Nobody knows. It's just going to be. Everybody starts playing, and then I'll tell you what, come back when we started playing a month into it, and we'll talk about it then. And that's the only way I can look at it.
We'll do that then. Yeah, we'll
you do have to that. Do that because we'll obviously it's then. Like it's like saying that Man United are going to win the league at the start of the season. Who would believe what's gone on now?
Yeah.
So you obviously can't predict anything at the moment because it's unknown territory.
Unknown. Yes. Yes, lots of questions.
Lots of movement.
Yeah, but time's moving on, and we're coming to the end of our. So, I mean, just the last question: Championship. Who do you see as being the team to beat in the Championship in 2021? Then
I mentioned them earlier. Toulouse. They had a storming start to the season. They absolutely played us off the park at the recreation ground in muddy conditions that afternoon. We only got one try on the board. Toulouse ended up with 40 points. They were unbeaten in 2020 before the season was curtailed. They were unlucky not to get to the playoff final the season before. Feverson put in a great performance over there and to take on Toronto in that playoff final. But they've just, as I said earlier, since they've come in back into the second occasion, they've really impressed me. I've seen them quite a few times. They played Wasbrow up in the cup in their first year they come over. It was the first game back within the... and they impressed me then. And they've got some really top quality players that they've only built up on since then. So for me, I can only see Toulouse, but the likes of Featherstone, London and Bradford. And I'm sure another couple will be thinking, well, that's not going to be the case. But for me, I can only see Toulouse. But Featherstone signed well, London signed well, Bradford signed well. So it's just, Danny Brough coming down to the Championship, joining John Keir at Bradford. I think that's an absolute masterstroke signing for them just to be able to lead them round the field. But Zach, I can't see past Toulouse myself.
So what about you, Paul, just to finish off?
I've got to agree with Jordan. I think Toulouse are the team to beat. Bradford, they haven't got a ground. They're playing at Dewsbury, as far as I know. I can't see anybody beating Toulouse, to be honest with you, the way they were playing. If they come out of the traps like they did last season, I think it's a one-horse race.
Yeah. And another thing that could go into Lucy's favour is we're starting the season later. So when they're coming over to play their games over here, initially that start of the season, they may be playing on muddy pitches, which obviously normally they wouldn't be in Toulouse, obviously at that time of year. But coming over, the pitches should be firmer. So it should only help their attacking play and their fast-flowing rugby league. Like I said, I can only see it as a one-horse race. I hope I'm wrong, because I do like to see a battle at the top, but as Paul said, if they come out the traps like they did in 2020, there's no challenges there for them, as it stands.
Yeah, no, not
Toulouse, at all. Toulouse for me as well, I think. They'll have only strengthened more. So, yeah, anyway, we're almost at the end of things. So, been an interesting conversation, lots of things covered, some interesting points made. Thanks to Jordan for joining us today. And thanks to Paul Stokes from Manchester. And we look forward to doing it all again at some point in the season. And we'll be back in a week or two with another Avon Rugby League Fans podcast. So thanks for now.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.